our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text for the sermon is, well, verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. You may be seated. And the second verse of this song, that's why we had to sing it. Starting out in the third line. Now for us before the Father, as our brother intercede, flesh that for our world was wounded, living for the wounded plead. Yeah. Celebrating the ascension of Jesus, and that is part of the whole theme, that Jesus, our brother, now ascended into heaven, pleads with the Father, pleads for us, intercedes and prays for us continually, without ceasing, without end. Shall we go deeper? Let's go deeper. How much does Jesus know about each of us? Every single thing, right? So, what all is included in Jesus' prayers for us? Every single thing that we need, every part of our lives, everything within our souls, every doubt and fear, every hope and dream, every prayer that we pray, he joins his prayers to, refashions the prayers if needed, brings them before the throne of grace, and sends out the answers to our prayers. For who does Jesus do that? For each and every one of us. You realize that means that any given second that goes by, Jesus must watch over and hear and know and see all that is within each one of his people. Okay, back in confirmation days, we learned this distinction that there was Christ's state of humiliation and his state of exaltation, and the definitions we were given was that in Christ's state of humiliation, what that was he set aside and did not always use every divine power that he had. So he could be hungry, thirsty, tired, and on and on. He could be tempted in the wilderness. He could be in agony on the cross. He could share the sorrow and the suffering of Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. He could be surprised by the faith of the centurion. And then the state of exaltation is that now he always and in every way fully uses every divine power that he has available to him. So he is able to see, he is able to know, he is able to, frankly, put it this way, he's able to be with each one of us. Okay. You're going to walk through tomorrow's hours, and Jesus will be with you. And you will go through tomorrow's hours, and Jesus will be with you. And each one of us in the same way. See, part of the difficulty of teaching the ascension of Jesus is saying what doesn't seem the obvious conclusion. Oh, he has ascended, that means he's more distant from us. No. He has ascended into heaven. He is closer than ever with each one of us. Or back in confirmation days, the pastor taught our class, said, and Jesus ascended to the right hand of God. Where's the right hand of God? Answer from the catechism, everywhere where God exercises his powers. Ah, that's everywhere. He ascended to fill all things. Paul says that in Ephesians. He ascended so that he could be closer than ever with us, so that he could carry our prayers every moment, every second, every instant, as our brother. So, sermon's titled Glorifying the Ordinary, right? So Jesus takes all of these things that are ordinary and lifts them up. Our lives. Simple acts of faith and kindness are now done connected with Jesus. Simple things in life are done as the people of God. All of our relationships, all of our home and family life, all of these things are drawn into what Jesus raises up and glorifies. He glorifies the ordinary. There is not a single part of human life that is not touched by the hand of God. Or let's put it a different way. Is there any part of your life that doesn't have the Word of God? God's Word, spoken by God, spoken to you. God's Word of promises, God's Word inviting you to faith. Is there any part of life that that Word doesn't touch? Answer, of course, is no. It runs all through life. And the Word of God is, as the fancier theologians will tell you, it is the stuff of the life of God. So God joins his life to your life. Oh. Hey, tomorrow is Mother's Day, right? Everything that our Christian mothers did is part of the kingdom of God working its way into our world. And isn't that amazing? But that's how God will have it. He will have the Word of the Scripture, the Word of forgiveness, the Word of life, the Word that connects us to Jesus, the Word that promises salvation, the Word that draws us to Him, the Word that speaks deep within our souls. He will have that Word going through every part of our lives. My pastor, does that mean that tomorrow if I go out and I garden in the backyard, that that's part of the kingdom of God? Yes, it does. Yeah. Okay. My pastor, does that mean that if you go home and you try and wash the dishes before your wife gets back from being away for a couple days, that's part of the kingdom of God? Yes, it is. Hopefully, I get there. What, pastor, does that mean that if my child misbehaves and I have to discipline them, that's part of the kingdom of God? Yeah. Pastor, does that mean that when I do my homework, that's part of the kingdom of God? Yes. It starts flowing through everything. Glorifying the ordinary. And now I have to apologize to anybody who has ever taught English, because there is a reverse part of this. We're talking about glorifying the ordinary. How do I reverse that? Sorry. I'm sorry. Ordinarifying the glorious. That's bad, isn't it? But it gets your attention, ordinarifying the glorious. Which means, who is this Jesus that did this? Why, he is the Son of God. Why, he is the second person of the Trinity. Why, he is the eternal God, the Son. Who? He came down from heaven to earth. He ordinarified the glorious. I wish there was a different way to say it. Actually, no, I don't, because that's kind of fun. He was born. He grew up, was a little child. He was 12 years old. He was in the temple and didn't realize that Mary and Joseph were leaving, and he stayed behind. He knew sorrows like us. He got hungry and thirsty. He put himself in those places where he brought the glory of God into the ordinary, being tempted, praying, struggling in faith, kneeling in the garden, and having to wrestle through to where he could say, "Father, your will be done, not mine, your will." Went to the cross for us. He bled and died. The Holy Son of God brings all of the mighty acts of God for salvation into our world. Makes it a part of our world and our life. Paul used this term. It's like leavening the loaf. A little leaven leavens the whole loaf. He comes into our world. He is like the leaven who comes into this world to transform, to change, to refashion everything. Last week we heard from Revelation 21, "Behold, I make all things new." All things. And he comes into our world to do that. And it costs. It costs a terrible and frightful price. Because God must follow us into our place of misery, our world of sin, our place of being separated from God, our praying and not knowing how to pray or whether the prayers are even heard, comes into all of that so that he can bring the Word of God, that glorious relationship within the Trinity, so that he can bring the life of God, so that he can bring everything from heaven down to this earth. And it's like the early church used to preach. He stooped down to raise me up. He came to my earth that I might come to his heaven. He took on himself my nature in order to give me his nature. And Luther keeps it up. He came into my sin, taking my sin and carrying it to the cross so that he might bring to me his holiness. He came to my death and was laid in my tomb so that he can bring to me his Easter and his resurrection. He came to my shame that I might come to his glory. And what an amazing Savior we have who did that for us. And now everything is resorted. Everything is made new. The kingdom of God, why, that's right here among us. We've got the Word of God here among us. Last Sunday we had the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus given to us. We have had poured over us water mixed with God's Word. What an ordinary and at the same time amazing thing that is. The kingdom of God comes into this world. It changes everything in life. The prayers that I pray with my children, that's part of the kingdom of God. the family life, and the talking about Jesus, or just the being there quietly together, part of the kingdom of God. I'm going to snag something from way off in left field. Left field. John chapter 21, where Jesus meets his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and he has breakfast with them. And I've said this before, say it again. The most amazing thing about that breakfast with Jesus is that there wasn't anything amazing about breakfast on the beach with Jesus. It was simply breakfast on the beach with Jesus, bringing the kingdom of God into a very ordinary, simple part of life. That's what God does. That's what transforms everything. And then we're going to pack into that it is the risen Lord Jesus with Easter and with all the power of the resurrection and with life eternal and with forgiveness of sins that he carries with him. And all of those things come rolling into every part of life. That's part of the ascension. That everything becomes transformed and our simple moment-to-moment, day-to-day lives now have a destiny. And that destiny is that it enters into the kingdom of God, eternal life, heaven, the resurrection. And God draws all of what it is to be us into that. Leaving behind the sin because we don't need that. But in all eternity, he takes us, brings us into his kingdom. He goes before us, ascending into heaven, so that we may enter also. And this is why he came to this earth, to reclaim us, to bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.